The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Over the last several days, we have heard time and again gospel passages, mostly from John's gospel, about what we would later in the church codify in our doctrine as homoousia, or consubstantial, Jesus' bold claim that he is one in being with the Father, that he and the Father share the same substance. Our Lord says that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. A certainly bold and profound claim, so much so that if you've noticed over the last several days, there have been several instances where the Jews tried to pick up stones, or were picking up stones, ready to end Jesus' life right then and there. It's a very, very bold claim. And even today they say, we're not trying to stone you because of your works, but because of your blasphemy. You, a man, claiming to be God's equal, the Son of God. I thought that a good way to understand this notion of ousia, or substance, is perhaps to go back to a parable that we're all very familiar with, the parable of the prodigal son. Because in the parable of the prodigal son, in the Greek translation, Luke uses this word ousia, substance, where we get the word homoousia, and then later in Latin, consubstantialem. You know these words very well. Listen carefully. "Father, give me the share of property that falls to me," said the prodigal son. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. Words we know very well. This is perhaps from the most famous parable of them all. Perhaps the Good Samaritan aside. So let's substitute for the English in a few places the Greek words. "Father, give me my ousia." And he divided his bios between them. Not many days later, the younger man gathered panta and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his ousia in loose living. Ousia, only here. In these two places, in the entire New Testament. It appears in combinations in other places. We'll see the words parousia, episuios, or apousia. But only here does it stand alone. Ousia, that is the word the church fathers would later combine with the prefix homo to define the relationship of the Father with the Most Holy Trinity. As I mentioned, homoousia, of the same substance. Why did St. Luke use this word in this section of the gospel? Already 3 centuries earlier, Greek philosophers were asking the question, what is the ousia of a person or thing? What is its inherent substance? What is the property that gives one his unique worth and identity? Is it his physical, economically measurable wealth, or is there some property that pertains to the essence of his being? And in the Jewish world of Jesus' day, even now as in our own, there was and is a misdirected answering of this question. Remember, the younger son in the parable of the prodigal son says to the father, "Give me that by which I identify myself. Give me that which I see as pertaining to my being your son. Divide out to me my usia." And the father, knowing what his son intended, since he knew what the son considered to be of value, divided between both sons all his livelihood, giving to the younger his portion of the material inheritance. And after the younger son had gathered all together, particularly conscious of all the things that he valued, did he sell some of the herd to convert the goods into ready cash? Did he load wagons and camels with portable riches? He departed to a distant country. There he scattered, wasted, and dissipated, and squandered his usia. Again, Luke chooses this word, rejecting any more of the frequently used words that refer very specifically to material wealth or possessions. Again, he does not even use the word panta, by which he had previously referred to what the son had gathered together before leaving the father's house. Of course, the word usia raises a question: what essentially did the son squander? What did he scatter abroad? Only his physical and material possessions? Or rather, did he not in a deeper sense squander, more importantly, his true usia, that is his sonship, and all that was contained and promised to him in his relationship with the father? For this son, all the relationship seemed to mean was having of something that he could spend his money on without regard for the feelings of his father, the preservation of the relationship, or the good of the family as a unit. You see, various threads of thought could be followed from this consideration of the use of the word usia in the parable of the prodigal son. It's the word that Jesus is really essentially referring to in these Johannine discourses from this week leading up to Palm Sunday. For now, as a beginning, perhaps a good thread to follow is the question for ourselves: how we each individually interpret the meaning of our position as a child of God, and how we interpret the promise given to us in that relationship. If we really understand the word usia, do we see that as sons and daughters of the Father, we are in relationship not only with God, but with each other, his children? Do we see that this is neither something to be used for our own temporary pleasure, nor something to be jealously laid up for a future day, as if credit, with no present enjoyment? Do we, because of our relationship with the Father, desire both his joy and the best for the family unit, that is, the church? Or do we focus primarily on the self? These are difficult questions that for most of us will take a lifetime to answer. But let us pray as we enter into the holiest week of the year in the church's calendar and commemorate again the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord, that we truly understand who he is, his shared usia with the Father, and realize that our usia as priests and future priests takes its cue from that primordial relationship we have with the Most Holy Trinity.